The Macedonian emperors imposed security in the Balkans and Asia Minor. I've mentioned this in earlier lectures, especially the Emperor Basil II. And this had the consequence of increasing immensely the numbers of Western European pilgrims in the 10th and the 11th century, probably the highest level since the 5th or early 6th century A.D. And the Western Europeans who went on pilgrimages in this period included many of the most prominent figures in Western Europe. Judith, the Duchess of Bavaria, sister-in-law to the Emperor Otto I, she made a journey on her own. There were numerous Anglo-Saxon and Scandinavian Christians who went, most of them, because they had very good reason to, they were suffering from blood guilt. You know, anyone who's read Norse sagas and epics and legends realize that these blood feuds go on forever. And those of the Scandinavians who are more or less Christian like the idea of going and getting some kind of remission of sins. Among the prominent figures was Thorvald Kondrinsson, who is the man who actually brought Christianity to Iceland, the so-called White Christ at the Althing of 1000 when the Icelanders accepted Christianity by a legal act in their parliament. King Harald Hardrada, the future king of Norway, who had served with the Byzantines, he went to Jerusalem at one point in the 1030s, again for some blood guilt problem. This was the king who was defeated by Harald II just before the Battle of Hastings. And then Harald II's own brother, Sven, went on an enormous pilgrimage with a number of Englishmen. He, however, died trying to cross the Alps, but his motives were in the right direction. You know, many set out on pilgrimage. It didn't necessarily mean you reached your destination. The size of these retinues on the eve of the Crusades could be enormous. There's reports of German nobles taking as many as 10,000 on their retinues. And one of the important leaders of the First Crusade, Count Robert of Flanders, who started out in 1089 and finally got back home in 1092, had to literally battle his way to Jerusalem because the pilgrimage routes at that point were interrupted by the Seljuk Turks. So there was a powerful sense that this was a Christian religious duty to go and see the Holy Land, and it was very much ingrained in Western tradition over the centuries since the Crusades, since the collapse of the Roman Empire. Now, at the same time, I said there's a second tradition feeding into this, and this is the notion of the just war, the holy war, which Christians evolved at the same time they were evolving their notions about pilgrimage. And as I noted, the Christians didn't have a single coherent theology on holy war. There wasn't, I mean, crusade is compared to jihad, but it is not as if you can go into religious texts and draw an explanation of what a crusade is, and at least not from biblical text. You've got a lot of marvelous passages in the Old Testament, which most Western Europeans understood instinctively, the conquest of Canaan by the Israelites, great passages in Judges, the righteous kings of Israel, Hezekiah and Josiah, particularly casting down idols. The Capetian kings of France always like to compare themselves and even claim they were descendants of these kings of Israel. That gives you some notion of a religious war. There was also a very powerful Roman tradition, the Bellum Iustum, the just war. The Romans assure us that they never waged an unjust war. They had a whole special way of waging wars. And in the Roman tradition, conveniently, Roman envoys who went to announce the demands from their opponent were killed by the would-be opponent, which gave the Romans a justification to intervene. St. Augustine took this Roman tradition, married it with these Old Testament traditions to come up with the notion that in certain situations, a just war was legitimate for the defense of the faith, or perhaps for the extension of the faith. It isn't too much of a stretch. By the 10th and 11th century, this notion of a just war coming out of Old Testament traditions, coming out of these Roman traditions, was also fused with Germanic and Celtic traditions of martial ethos. And we have sermons, prayer books, miniaturist paintings, Romanesque sculptural figures, constantly emphasizing incidents of combat coming out of Exodus, coming out of the conquest of Canaan, the later books of the Old Testament stressing the casting down of idols. So that your art forms, your sermons, those who could read, your prayer books were just replit with these incidents stressing the battle against the heathens. Western European churchmen, had a very distorted view of Roman history and tended to write Roman history stressing the Christian emperors, Constantine, Theodosius, Heraclius, emperors regarded as defending the faith, as casting down the heathens and the pagans.